Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
We're going to talk about the promises of God, and we're going to talk about being where we are right now, and how do we go from right here to the promise of God. Now, I looked this up, and somewhere, you can Google it yourself, one person will say there's 3,057 promises in the Bible. You scroll down, and the next person says there's 2,000 promises in the Bible. You scroll down a little bit further, and one says there's over 30,000 promises in the Bible. The Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen. And then Paul says that there's an exceedingly amount of promises in the Bible. So I'm just going to say there are a lot of promises in the Bible. But it doesn't do us any good to have the promises if we don't know how to pull them out. It's kind of like being thirsty, and man, I'm thirsty, and there's a bottle of water right there, and I'm so thirsty. I've got to do something to get over here to get the water. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, which I'm going to get a drink of water. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. My days and nights are really messed up. You know how a child, you ask them, how's the baby sleeping? They say, oh, they got their days and nights mixed up. My days and nights are mixed up. But flip in your Bibles. Go ahead and go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, because that's where we'll spend the majority of our time. Hebrews 11, anybody that's ever read the Bible understands that Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith, the chapter of faith, because as you read through it, you read of so many of the great women and men of the Bible who did great things for God and because of God. So it goes without saying that we're going to talk about faith. First of all, what is faith? You can ask anybody, and somebody will have a different answer. Somebody will have faith is believing. Faith is receiving. Faith is all these things. The Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? Well, I actually looked it up in the Greek, because the Greek's supposed to clear everything up, right? If you don't want to know what the word in the Bible is in the English, you always go to the Greek, because Greek is what it is. So here we go. The Greek word for substance literally means a standing under, and used in a technical sense as a title deed. So we're going to play like this red piece of paper is a title deed. Now, the root idea is that of standing under a claim of property to support its validity. That's what a title deed is. Now, we're going to pretend this is my title deed to my house. It's not, of course, but I have one. And that title deed, it tells me everything I need to know about my property. It tells me the longitude and the latitude of it. It tells me the dimensions of it. I can go to one corner, and by that title deed, I can walk the steps off, and I can be at the other corner. I can walk my property off according to my title deed. So whatever the title deed says, that it's mine. If you have the title to your car right now, nobody can come and take your car from you, because that title deed says it's yours. So you hold in your hands, and we'll get there. You hold in your hands right now a title deed. Everybody have a Bible? Raise your Bible up for just a minute. This is your title deed, or your phone. This is your title deed. Whatever this title deed says, it's yours. Whatever is in this Bible, whatever is in your Bible, all the promises of God that are in this Bible belong to you, because this is our title deed. This is the Word of God. It is the living Word of God. It is the God-inspired Word that men wrote. This is our title deed. And whatever it says, whether it be salvation, whether it be healing, whether it be finances, whether it be deliverance, whether it be protection, whether it be whatever it is, if it's in here, God said, you can have it. The promises of God are ours. Because God said it, we can close our books and Bibles and go home right there. But I want to look at 8 steps, and we're going to do this kind of hurriedly. This is not going to be hard or deep. I like to preach to my 5-year-old, and if she can get it and say amen, I believe you can get it. 8 steps of faith, and that's what we'll call this morning. That's for Dana. 8 steps of faith. Now, it's getting from here, the now, to the promises. Hebrews 11:11 says this. It says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed after she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The first thing you've got to do in order to get the promise of God is you've got to believe that he is faithful to do his word. That he is faithful to do his word. If you can't believe the Word of God, you'll never get what He's promised in it. If you can't believe that what's in here is yours, then you'll never get it out. How many of us in this room has a promise? Who has a promise from God? All of us has a promise. We all have. Everybody. All of us have a promise from God. We have a promise of salvation for our loved ones. We have a promise of healing for our bodies. We have a promise of deliverance from substance or from addictions, from habits, from bondage. We have the promise of finances. We have these promises. I want you to hold up your faith deed. Because this is class participation. I want you to hold up your faith deed. And I don't know what your promise is. I don't know what you're believing God for right now. But I want you to, and hear me on this, because a lot of people will say, oh, that's those faith preachers. That's those grab it and blab it and name it and claim it type things. We are going to do some of that thing, because the Bible says that if we would make a faith declaration about the Word of God, if we would declare a thing, then God will establish it for us. Now, the thing that we declare is the key. And what we're going to do today is the key, because we're not naming it and grabbing it and blabbing it and naming it and claiming it. What we are saying is, God, you're faithful to your word. That's what I claim today. That's what I say today. All of the stuff, the byproduct, the healing, and all that's coming, but it comes first when we say, God, you are faithful to do what your word says. I don't know what your promise is. I don't know what you're asking God for, but I'd love for you to hold that title deed up and just declare this morning, if it's healing, say, God, I thank you that in this title deed, in this word, is my healing. I claim my healing today. I claim the finances that I need today, the provision I need today. This, no, I'm not doing it for you. You got to do it yourselves. This is class participation. So you claim it. You claim it. Take a second. Whisper it. I don't get... Whatever it is, we're going to put our faith in action this morning. God, whatever it is, Lord, I thank you that in the Word is the promise. And we claim and we declare this morning that you are faithful to do what you said your Word would do. See how easy step one was? See how easy it was? On 7 more steps and we'll be there. 7 more steps and we'll be there. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises, plural, you notice that's plural, received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding, or others it says, reasoning, that God was able to raise him up. Also, you've got to know the promise in the Word. You've got to know that God is not only faithful to His Word, but number two, you've got to know that God is able to perform His Word. There's a difference in knowing that God is faithful to His Word and God being able to do His Word. Matthew 19:26 says that with God, all things are possible. If you can't believe that, then they're not possible for you. In God, all things are possible. Whatever the promise is, you cannot entertain the thought of doubting that promise. Because I'm going to tell you, that's what happens every time. Every time that we hear from God, or someone says something about what God can do, immediately we receive it and we're happy and we're charged for the moment. But then right then the devil comes in, or someone comes in, and they try to trump what God has said. And we allow that doubt to creep in and take over what we know to be true. So we can't entertain doubting the promises. Look over in just flip a couple pages over. We'll go to James chapter 1. We'll get a little Bible in us this morning. James chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubt. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. All right. Illustration. Told you this is classroom. Illustration time. The Bible says that when we begin to doubt, we are tossed to and fro. When we begin to doubt, we lose focus. When we begin to doubt, we lose our footing on the truth. And we're tossed. Now this poor little old box, I didn't know it was up here, but I'm going to use it anyway. This poor little tissue box didn't know what it was going to happen today. It's just sitting here minding its own business. It's in the way, but it was minding its own business. But when we doubt, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like tossed. The box had no control over where it was going. It had no control over how it was going to flip in the air. It had no control over how it was going to land. That's how we are when we doubt the promises of God. When we doubt that God's not able. When we doubt that God's not faithful. That's how we walk in life. That's why everything comes against us. And you feel like you're getting hit on one. Kind of like the boxer who's getting his brains beat out. You're getting hit on one side. And when you finally get up, you're getting hit on the other side. When we doubt, that's what happens to us. So we cannot doubt. Verse 7, look at it, it says, for let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. Why hasn't God answered my prayer? Maybe it's because the moment you got through praying, you turn around, said, you know, I just don't think he's going to do it for me. I don't think God can do that. I've been so bad and I've done so many wrong things. I just don't think God can do it. If you've ever prayed a prayer and followed it up with something like that, guess what? You probably don't have your answer. We can't doubt the Word. We can't doubt God. We've got to get control of our thoughts and pull doubt down. If we don't, we'll have nothing but chaos and disorder in our lives. If you walk around doubting, you know, if you're the doubter, your life is probably full of chaos and disorder. All right, no amens there. All right. Pick that faith deed up. Pick your faith deed up. And I want you to say this after me. Say, Father, I refuse to walk in doubt. I know without any doubt that you are able to do anything. You're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Anything I ask, nothing is impossible for you. Y'all are missing some shouting points right there. I'm supposed to have church all by myself. I tell you, I've heard this. I've heard it. I've already shouted. But there's nothing like... Remember back to that time God answered your prayer. Remember back to that time that when you were first born again, you know, that's where we need to be. That needs to be our life. You know what? Sometimes they're delayed, but delay does not mean denial. Sometimes we just got to push on. We got to keep on keeping on. We got to push doubt out of our lives. All right, that's enough on doubt. Verse 23, Hebrews 11, back in verse 23. Number one, we're going to know that He's faithful to His Word. Number two, we're going to know that He's able to do what His Word says. Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. How are you going to get the promise from God? You're going to get it by not walking in fear. You're going to get that promise of healing. You're going to get that promise of salvation. You're going to get that promise of deliverance by not walking in fear. Promise killers, doubt. Promise killers, fear. Y'all know the story. Y'all know the story of Moses and how he was hidden away and pushed down the river. You understand? They didn't walk in fear. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what your friends say. You know, people have told me before, and I don't understand why. They said, you know what? You're crazy. You're crazy for believing in that stuff. You're crazy for believing in that Bible, that Jesus stuff. You're one of those Jesus freaks, aren't you? Yes, I am. I am all that and more. I'm guilty. I've got the T-shirt and all of that. Doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the report was. Doesn't matter if the doctor said you've got cancer or you've got this disease, or if the doctor said you've been diagnosed with depression. It doesn't matter what the government does. It doesn't matter that they said, you know what, you can't have prayer in church. I can pray in school all I want. The government says you can have a moment of silence, but you can't say anything in Jesus' name. We can't walk around in fear. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, we've got to be smart. We've got to be smart. Now, I'm not going to stand up on the top of my desk in school and start praying in tongues, and you know what I'm saying? But I can pray to God. It doesn't matter what the world says about us. We can't walk around expecting to receive promises from God if we're walking around in fear. 2 Timothy. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. You know where I'm going. I like it when we stick around. I don't have to look so hard. And y'all don't see it. Some Sundays I'm up there flipping through the beginning of the book going, there it is. Boom. Now I know what y'all do. Some Sundays, you know, Pastor Mike will be saying, go to Habakkuk, Kalachi, or wherever he's talking about going. And I know what y'all do. Y'all sit here and you just flip it open and go, hey, hallelujah. But we're going to stay right around Hebrews. So 2 Timothy, that's just a few pages back. 2 Timothy 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. This is Paul talking to young Timothy. Verse 7 is where we want to hit. Verse 7, this Paul is telling Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Self-control, if you will. That's what you possess. We walk around half beaten down because we don't understand what God has told us in His Word. If you want to get the promise of God, I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 3:7, and I'm not going to walk in fear. Why? Because God's not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me love, He's given me power, and He's given me a sound mind. You might not think that last one, but I know it's true. Hold up your faith deed. And I want you to claim this promise in the Word. Say, I have been given power, love, self-control, but not a spirit of fear. Do you understand what we're doing when we do that? We're declaring and we're claiming the promise that's in the Word of God. We're saying, God, you said that in this Word, remember we talked about being under the title deed, that in this Word is the promise that I don't have to walk in fear. And what I've just done is I verbalized and I made known to all around what my title deed says. So I don't have to walk in fear because your Word says I don't have to walk in fear. And let me, the one who backs up this Word, I'll trust him any day. I'll trust him any day. I might not trust Uncle Sam sometimes, but I'll trust the Word of God. I'll trust the author of the Word. We don't have to walk in fear. We're going to believe God's faithful to His Word. We're going to know He's able to perform His Word. We're not going to walk in fear. Now look in verse 24 of Hebrews 11. We're going to be tired after we do these walks. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? One, because he wasn't. Something clicked in his head. Don't listen to the world's view of what they call you. Refuse to be called what they say about you. You're not a loser. You're not a flake. You're not a fake. You're not a phony. You're not whatever they want to call us. Let them call us that, because we know who we are. I know that I am a child of God. I know that I am the apple of His eye. I know that I am worth more than the world puts on me. You are what your faith deed says you are, but you've got to stand under the claim. You've got to stand under that deed, and you've got to make claim to it. Goes back to, if I took a title deed and I took it to the courthouse and I didn't get any signatures on it, guess what? It might not be any good. But as long as I've got signature on it, and my signature is my voice saying, yes, that's mine. Your voice this morning is what's saying, yes, this is mine. You're not a victim, you're victorious. You're not a victim, you're victorious. You're not a victim, you're victorious. You're more than a conqueror. You are blessed. Going in and coming out and going in, you're blessed. You're not the tail, you're the head. I mean, amen. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. It may look like all hell has come against us and has completely destroyed everything. But in the middle of that, if we can just, and I know it's hard, guys, but if we can picture ourselves coming up out of the, you know, Hollywood does such a good job. When the building falls down, you know, the hero comes up out of the rubble and here he is, he's off to fly again. What? That's us. That's us. When your world falls in on you, that we've got to stand up. We've got to push that off of us, because that's not who we are. We have victory through Jesus Christ, regardless of what situation you're in, regardless of what the circumstances are. But we've got to get our mind and we've got to get our understanding that the promises of God is, yes, I am victorious in Christ. It hurts my heart to see me or anybody else walk around defeated and helpless. Because as long as you have accepted Christ and you've called on Christ to be your Savior, that you did what Romans said, you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, then you are victorious. I can look at my bills and I can say, I am victorious. I can look at the doctor's report and say, I am victorious. I can look at the habits, the addictions and the bondages that are on me, and I can say, you know what? I may be walking with a limp, but I am victorious. Flip over to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:31. If you've not read this, and if you've not screamed this at the devil, I know I have, then you're missing an opportunity. You're missing an opportunity to sucker punch the devil right in the nose. Excuse me, there are some times that I just want to punch the devil in the nose. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, oh my goodness. Guys, a lot of times we hear the reports and we see what's happening in our lives and we just take it for granted that that's just it. That's our lot in life, but that's not it. I'm learning every day to approach Romans 8:31. In fact, my thought on it, it is like my bumper. It's like that extra super heavy-duty bumper that I put on the front of my truck. So that if something comes out, you know what? It's going to hit that bumper. It's not going to damage my goods. If God is for me, who dares be against me? Who dares be against me? That's the attitude we should have. Who dares be against me? Who's crazy enough, dumb enough to stand up against me? It's not me. It's all about the one standing behind me. It's all about the one who's my rear guard. It's all about the one who encompasses me. Whoo, Jesus. It's how we perceive. It's how we see the issue that determines the victory. Is it there? Yes. The broken rubble, is it there? Yes. Am I bruised? Am I hurt? Am I cut? Am I bleeding? Yes, because I'm in a fight. I'm in a fight. But if God is for me, who can be against me? Don't listen to the world's view. Refuse to be called what the world says. No matter what the world says about you or your promise, it is yours. They can say what they want to about us. You can call me what you want. You can say what you want. You can say what you want about the promises of God. But I'm telling you right now, I believe it. I believe every word in this Bible. And I don't care what anybody says to me. I'm going to refuse to be called what they want to call me. Hold that faith deed up and let's declare this. Say, I am the apple of God's eye. I am worth the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's what God's Word says about me that counts. Ooh, you don't know it, but you said a mouthful right there. I'm telling you, you said a mouthful right there. And if we can get it from here to here, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. How? And then they'll look at you and go, how in the world can your world be falling apart? And here you are smiling. Here you are still claiming the promises. Don't you know that the devil's defeated you? Excuse me? No, he hasn't. Who has the last word? God has the last word. And his last word is his promise. Ooh, hallelujah. I hope you're getting this. I hope you're getting this. Got to know that God's faithful to his word. You got to know he's able to perform his work. Can't walk around in fear. You got to refuse to be called what the world calls you. Let's look at number 5, verse 25 of Hebrews 11. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Step number 5 is you've got to know the cause. and look to the reward. You got to know the cause and look to the reward. Moses knew the cause. Moses knew what was going on. He knew that in God he had all that he needed. He knew that in God that no amount of earthly treasure was worth what God had in store for him. Oh, you ought to know where I'm going on this one. You should be ahead of me. He knew that nothing that the world had to offer him compared to the riches of what Christ or what God had for him. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin. Note, I said temporary. Excuse me, but I'm going to be honest and real. There are some things that we know we're not supposed to do, but they are fun. It feels good. It tastes good. But it's temporary. It's temporary. Moses, he knew the cause, and he knew that everything he had was for a reason. Everything you have is for a reason. Every gift that you possess is for a reason. Every talent that you have is for a reason. The resources you have are for a reason. The influence you have is for a reason. God gives us everything we need in order to fulfill His will in our lives. The Bible says that God knows what we have need of before we ask, but we've still got to ask. You know, Moses knew the cause, and he looked to the reward. But let me stop right here, and let me step on somebody's toes. Probably mine. There are promises in the God of in the Word of God about healing. Excuse me, I love some Big Macs. I love a Big Mac. I love some greasy food. Give me a bucket of lard and some cereal, I'm happy. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy. I know some of y'all are too. I grew up eating some bones, I'll tell you that. In the peas were bones, in the collards were bones, in the greens were bones. And the bones were bones. But there's a promise of healing in the Word of God, and yet I'm constantly wanting to fill it with stuff I shouldn't. There's a promise of provision in the Bible. The Bible says, and hopefully you've read this. If not, I'm telling you, if you've not read the Bible, you're missing out. The Bible says that Christ gave up His riches to become poor, that we, in the exchange, might become rich. If you didn't know that, you could never claim that promise. But let me get back on track. Let me get back on somebody's toes. There's provision in the Word. There's a promise of provision, but yet we've got 12 credit cards. We spend when we don't have it. Let me sit down with you. We spend when we don't have it. Oh, my gosh. The latest and greatest. I got to have that iPhone. I got to have that Galaxy Note. I got to have that dress. I got to have all this thing. And you open up your wallet, and your wallet's going, you ain't got to have nothing because you ain't got nothing. There's a promise for provision, yet we spend like we have it. There's some things that we've got to do. There's some things that we've got to do in order to have the promise. In Acts 16:40-something, there's a promise that says that if you're born again, not only will you be saved, but there's salvation for your family. Yeah, that's a promise. That's in the title. That belongs to me. But here's the problem. You've got people in your family that the promise is for their salvation, but you've not spoken to them in 3 years. Hey, the truth is the truth, isn't it? My gosh. I've got family members. I've got family members that the promise is they're not born again. They're living like they want to. And if they died today, they would bust hell wide open. And I didn't get this word because I know your business. Excuse me, I got this because I know my business. I've got people in my family that I'm going to have to make calls to. I'm going to have to rekindle some relationships with my family. Because somebody told me a long time ago when I first got born again that you need to separate yourself from the world. That's impossible. That's impossible. I know there are places I'm not going to go hang out. It'd be crazy for me to go to the supper club on Friday night at 1 o'clock in the morning and sit down or stand up on top of the table and get my Bible out and think I'm going to preach to somebody. This relationship with Christ is a personal relationship. The Bible says we're of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. How can they be born? They're not going to go osmos into this thing. They're going to be born again because I tell them, hey, you know what, Charlie? In the Bible, it says that I'm born again. You're my family. There's a promise that you're going to be born again. I've got to start sowing that seed in their lives. How are they going to be born again if we've not talking to them in about 3 years? That's my point. We've got to do what Moses did and look to the reward. That word look, this again, let's bring the Greek into it to clarify it, of course. I'm being very facetious when I say that. Because I can't pronounce half the Greek words anyway. But they mean what they mean. So here we go. Looked. It's two words. It's alejo, and believe it or not, bliho, something like that. Told you I was going to mess it up. But anyway, the first one means to look away. The second one means to set your gaze upon. He looked away from what the world had. And he set his gaze on what God said. It means to look away from something and then to begin to focus so intently on something else that regardless of what comes around you, you don't miss it because you're looking at it. Moses looked to the reward. Hold that faith, Dita. Let's say, Father, according to your title deed, the Bible, the Word of God, I have healing, I have salvation, I have finances, I have deliverance, I have protection, I have restoration. It's your title deed. It's your title deed. You've got to get in it. And you got to find the promise. Because the promise isn't going to jump out at you. You got to get your work clothes, your garden clothes on. Get your knee pads on. Get your little ditch witch out and start digging and get in there and find what the Word of God says. What do I need? Find it in the Word of God. And approach it that you said I could have it because it's in the Word. Boop. I don't know what time it is, but we'll trek on. We ain't got but a few more steps. We got to know He's faithful to His Word. We got to know He's able to do His Word. We can't walk in fear. We've got to refuse to be called what the world calls us. We've got to know the cause. We've got to look to the reward. Number 6, verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Step number 6, you've got to forsake the world and focus on God. Forsake the world and focus on God. There's nothing the world system has to offer us. Nothing that the world has to offer us that compares to what God has for those who are His. Moses was a prince in Egypt. He was a prince in Egypt. He was next in line to be Pharaoh. Next in line to be Pharaoh. He could have had all the fame, all the fortune, all the power he wanted. But at what cost? What cost are we willing to pay to have what the Bible calls temporary pleasure? Moses could have stayed in Egypt. He could have stayed in the world and had all that the world had to offer. But one day, all the world has to offer will end. The Bible says he looked toward him who is invisible. He focused on God. We've got to forsake the world, regardless of... Let me tell you, you can have all the money. You can have the nicest car. You can have the nicest house. You can have all of these things. But in the end, none of that matters. If we focus on those things, then we're focusing on the wrong thing. Now, I'm not saying that we can't have these things, but I'm telling you right now, if that's your purpose, if your purpose in this Christian life is to have stuff, then your focus is wrong. We have to forsake the world and focus on God. Hold that faith deed up. Say this, say, Father, today I choose to forsake the world and its ways, and I choose to focus on you. I choose to look away, to gaze, to set my focus on you and your promises. Forsake the world and focus on God. Number 7, look at verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. It's getting a little easier, a little simpler now. You know, first we had to forsake all these things, and we had to not walk in fear, and we had to believe he was able, and we had to know he was faithful. This next step right here, all you got to do is be obedient. All you got to do is walk in obedience. Excuse me, but I remember telling my dad, I just can't do that. Boy, go clean your room, Dad. I can't do that. I never got a why from him. I never got a why. But I did get an HIT. I never got a why. But I got an HIT. Walk in obedience. Excuse me, it's easier said than done, huh? I mean, we're just being real. We're just talking. It's easier said than done. Simply, whatever God has told you to do, that's what you must do. Whatever God's told you to do, that's what you've got to do. I mean, we can say the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, but simply, what God's told you to do, that's what you got to do. For some people, that's hard. I'm telling you. For some people, the temptation is far greater than what they can do. But that's because they're focuses in the wrong place. Walk in obedience. We can do it. We can do it. I tell you right now, there are certain things. I'm on a healthy eating regimen. You can laugh. I didn't really mean it. I don't diet anymore. I go on healthy eating regimens. And the reason I say that is because healthy is healthy. It might be not as healthy, but it's still healthy. Big Macs are healthy, they're just not healthy. There are certain things that I've got to know in my heart. Now, back in June 13 of 1993, when I gave my heart to the Lord, God instantly took the taste of alcohol away. Instantly took the filth that came out of my mouth away. Changed my attitude. Changed everything. You might not believe it now, but it did. So I'm not tempted when I get around somebody, I'm not tempted by alcohol to drink it. At work, I'm not tempted to jump in there and start cussing with the guys when they're cussing. You know, there are things that I've got to watch. There are things that I've got to watch for. And what I'm learning to do is I'm learning to pray and to speak over that before I encounter it. I'm tired. I don't want to be a reactionary Christian anymore. I want to be proactive in my walk with God. So I know if I'm about to go somewhere and I know I've fallen into that before, I want to be proactive about it and pray about it and plead the blood of Jesus over it instead of reacting to it after it happens. I am so tired of going back to God and saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me. And this is the 20th time this month that I've got to come back and say, forgive me. I want to learn to walk in obedience. And walking in obedience, the preparation to walk in obedience is to pray. I wasn't even in it, but anyway, you better walk in obedience. The last step. Last, we've arrived. Not really. Let me back up and say this. That the promise, we're just hitting on the top of the surface, the tip of the iceberg. I'm not saying that if you follow step, this is not a AA program. This is not an 8-step program that you do these 8 things and then on the last step you stand up and get a certificate and go, hey, I've arrived at my promise. No. Your promise may come at step 1. You may go home and go, you know, God, your promise is this, and I believe you're faithful to do the word, and bam, your promise comes. You may be down on step 3. You may already believe he's faithful and believe he's able, but you're walking in fear. And the moment you say, God, I'm not going to walk in fear anymore because I know what your word says, your miracle comes. It's not a step program. It's a lifestyle. It's a life. It's what we live day in and day out, 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 or 6 days of the year. I don't give the devil a leap year. I don't take off on leap years. Step 8, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. So if she didn't perish because she didn't believe, what do you think we have to do? We have to believe. Believe. Step number 8 is to believe. Hebrews 11:6. Look at Hebrews 11:6. Just flip the page back. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, him is, you see, him's capitalized. Now you go there and you see the little he is us. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What am I going to believe? I'm going to believe that God is who he said he is, And His Word is what it is, and I can have what His Word says. That's what I'm going to believe. What's He going to reward us with? He's going to reward us with what the faith deed says. John 3:16 says that belief is the beginning of your Christian life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him would have everlasting life. Romans in the 8th chapter, it says you've got to first believe in your heart and then confess with your mouth. Flip over to Matthew 21:22. Charlie, if you would come, please, sir. We're going to close this thing up. Matthew 21. Here we go. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." I don't know what your promise is. I know what mine are. And I know I've got to do some things. I've got to get some things right in my life if I want to walk in the promises of God. You can't have the promises of God unless you're born again. I know that's a bold statement. That's a bold statement.
For listening to the Gateway Family Church podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.